My dad, Pastor Salem, loved comforting people through God's Word. I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to CWH and our last sermon in the series on Joseph. Today's message, Payback Time, reveals lessons from Joseph on forgiveness and remembering that God is in control. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Here it is. Another week has rolled by. We're another week closer to eternity. And we're all gathering together around the throne of God, feet of Jesus, worshiping Him. And our sermon today is going to be about Joseph and that incident in his life when he forgave his half-brothers for their sins against him. And the sermon topic title is Payback Time. And just see how Joseph paid back his brothers. But before we do that, we want to look at some of the letters. We have so many nice letters, and the nice thing about these letters is you can find out where other people are and what they're thinking and what some of their problems are, and then we can all pray for them. And so we'll just share just some of them today. I have one here from Eden Prairie, Minnesota, and this is a lady, and she writes, I have an extreme illness and pray day and night to be released from the bondage. It feels so stuck in my mind and body. Feels like this is Satan's attack on me as I've repented of my old way of living, that is drinking and drugs and men and rebellion and everything else. This feels like my last battle, and I'm having the hardest time surrendering what seems to be the final fight of my life for freedom in Christ. Oh, how I love Him. I've tried every treatment center, program, prayer from elders and all of the rest. It's attached itself to me like a bondage or a curse. And then she writes, I'm in the battle of my life and worry it's too late and I'm not strong enough to fight due to physical chronic pain and depression and anxiety. Thank you for all you do to give me strength. And so this is why I love the gospel, because it isn't her final battle. She can have a victory every time through the Lord Jesus Christ. And she's thinking about her terrible sins. But just think of St. Paul. He said he was the chief of sinners, and God forgave him. And if God can forgive our chief, He can forgive all the rest of us. So just claim the promises of God, and I know this dear lady's going to have a victory in her life. Here's one from Colorado Springs, Colorado. Although I am a Mormon by faith, I occasionally watch your program on Sunday mornings. I do admire the years you've been teaching from the Holy Bible. May the Heavenly Father continue to bless you with good health and long life. And this is the beauty of our service, because we're non-denominational and we just preach the Bible. Just preach the Bible and let it speak to your soul. And the way it works is when we preach the Bible and you give the Word of God, the Holy Spirit takes it and applies it to hearts. And it doesn't matter what denomination you are, or even if you have any denomination, even maybe you're an atheist, it'll speak to your heart and bring you to Christ. And that's the glory of it all. So thank you for this letter. Here's one from Tucson, Arizona. And this one person writes, I can't get out to the church anymore, so you really fill up the empty space in my heart. Now, you know what this lady is telling us is she has an empty space in her heart. Do you know that you have an empty space in your heart? And I have an empty space in my heart, or I did. And it's a space for God. And so when God made us, He made us that we wouldn't be complete without Him. And until you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He's not in your heart and in your life. Because Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And He's not in our heart until we open the door and ask Him in. You just say, dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner. I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins, and I'll follow you the best I can. Wonderful, wonderful, glorious message. One more letter I want to share, and it's been 38 years, I never had a letter like this. It's from a lady that writes, she's in a women's prison, and her husband is in another prison for men. And this is what she writes. I thank you and God for the ministry you do. I'd always considered myself Christian since I've grown up going to church. It was not until a few months ago I really became a Christian, being born again. I prayed every day for 3.5 months for God to fill my husband with the Holy Spirit, to work in his heart, so he'd give his heart to God and accept Jesus as his personal Savior. And this is what she said. I received the letter saying he has received Christ into his heart. Praise God. God is so good. I'd like to request prayer for him in his new faith, that he be strong, protected from the enemy, trying to set him back, and for him to have strong Christian friends while he's incarcerated. Isn't that beautiful? Here's a lady, she's accepted the Lord in a women's prison. She prays for her husband, and God answers the prayer, and he comes and accepts Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you what we did. We wrote to both of these people. We sent literature, and we did everything we could to encourage them. And let me tell you a little secret. We couldn't have done it without your prayers and your gifts. And at the close of the service, I'm going to give you an address that you can write to help us. But you have an investment in these people. And here's a husband and a wife in different prisons, and they come to Jesus. And we're praying that they'll finish up their time and spend a life serving the Lord. But you can serve the Lord in prison too. And so just give faith and trust in Jesus, and he'll use you wherever you are. We're so thankful for that. But let's look at this story of Joseph. Payback time. And for the past 3 weeks, we've been looking at the life of Joseph. Last weekend, we looked at him as the second highest official in all of Egypt. He was second only to Pharaoh himself. We see how he perfectly handled riches and prosperity. And there isn't everybody that can handle riches. They can handle prosperity better than they can handle riches. But Joseph never made a bit of difference, and it didn't affect him at all. Though he's the second highest ruler in all of the land of Egypt, which was a powerful nation at that time, it had no effect on him at all. And so now today we're going to look at payback time. Here he is elevated, and he's second in command. And God had warned him in Pharaoh's dream that and Joseph came and interpreted that dream. There's going to be a 7 years famine. And sure enough, just as God warned, the famine came and it stalked all of the land of Egypt and surrounding areas. And that included Judea. And that's where Jacob and his 11 sons and their families resided. The inevitable happened, and Jacob and his family were about to starve. And so he sends 10 of his sons to Egypt to buy grain. He keeps Benjamin, Rachel's second son, with him at home. The 10 sons go into Egypt to buy grain, and guess what? They run into the hands of Joseph. Of course, they didn't have the foggiest idea they were talking to Joseph, but Joseph knew his half-brothers. He'd never forget their faces. He'd never forget the sound of their voices. And there they stand before him, all of them: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Gad, Asher, Dan, Naphtali. They trembled as they stood before the second highest in command of all of Egypt. And now you notice this, they didn't recognize Joseph. Joseph knew them, but they didn't recognize Jesus. And there he stands, and Joseph looks at these men and brings back a lot of memories, and they're not good memories. And so Joseph wants to test these men, and so he accuses them of being spies. And the Bible says that Joseph spoke harshly with them. Eventually, they're put in prison. And when they get into prison, what do? They do what everybody does. They remember their past sins. And they listened to them. They said one to another, "We're truly guilty concerning our brother. He saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, and we would not hear. Therefore, this distress has come upon us." When severe trials come upon us, we remember past sins. Maybe just sins of a week ago. Maybe sins 50 years ago, and they still plague us. And they feel that this calamity has come upon them. And so you know what? It might be, and it might not be. Personally, I believe if we take our sins to Jesus and he cleanses us from our sins, he doesn't play double jeopardy and test us and try us again. He forgives us, and he says, "Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." On the other hand, there are consequences to sins, and long gone by can come back to bite us, but God will help us in all of these troubles and trials. It's interesting because Joseph is hearing them talking. He understands Hebrew. He speaks the Egyptian language. And so the boys, the brothers don't know. They don't understand it. But Joseph can hear his brothers talking, and he knows every word they're seeing. And he sees the travail of their soul. And then he speaks them to in Hebrew. Joseph asks some hard questions of them. He talks about the keeping of Simeon. He talks about the threat to keep Benjamin. He repeated accusations of Jonah, Joseph. And finally, he can carry it on no longer. And this is the way the Bible puts it. He sees his brother suffering. And this is what it says, Genesis 45, 1 and 2. Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him. He cried out, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph." And it's like a bombshell bursting in their face. They're totally speechless. They can't believe their ears. They can't believe their eyes. Now they see that the worm has turned, and they will be surely put to death. Sure as the world, they're going to receive the same medicine they dished out to Joseph. They're going to reap what they sowed. They're going to be put to death, and there is no appeal anywhere in sight. What does this Bible say? Be sure your sins will find you out. Well, they've been found out. Well, the brothers had every right to believe that they would get harsh treatment. After all, they'd planned to kill Joseph and then turn about as fair play. Payback time has come, and so they expected prison or death. They could almost hear Joseph saying, all his regal attire, in his pomp and circumstance, standing in all the power of Egypt, they could almost hear him say, "Do you remember me out there in the wilderness of Jotham? Do you remember where I was there 50 miles from my father's home? You remember the beautiful coat of colors I had? You tore it into shreds, and you ripped it into shreds. See what I'm wearing now? Do you want to tear that from me also, you men? Would you like to throw me in the abandoned cistern, wet and slimy and full of snakes and scorpions and lice and God knows what? Do you remember when that Israelite caravan came by and you sold me into slavery? Do you remember how I fell at your feet and I begged and I cried and I wept? Do you remember how I wept and prayed and pleaded, and you wouldn't, and I just begged you to let me go back to my father's home? Do you remember how you laughed at me and taunted me, how you took the money to yourselves and threw me at the slave trader's feet and said, 'Do with him as you please'? Well, now maybe I'll just take down you to the slave market and have somebody buy you and torment you. Maybe we'll just play turnabout as fair play." Do you remember that dream I told you about Joseph would go on? He said, "Yeah, do you remember how you're going to bow down to me? Well, maybe you could bow down now and stay bowed down until Potiphar comes and buys you as a slave. Maybe I'll torture you. Maybe I won't. I'll just see how I feel after I eat supper tonight. In the meantime, have a good time with the cockroaches tonight." He could have done all of that. But listen to Joseph. Listen here. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I'm Joseph. Does my father still live?" But his brothers couldn't answer him. They were dismayed in his presence. They were speechless. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near to me." So they came near. Then he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves. Listen to Joseph. Because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. Can you believe it?" After all of these things in the past, he is saying God had a purpose in it, a reason in it. Let's examine that statement. He says, "I am Joseph." And their hearts must have stopped. They must have been petrified. And then he says, "Come closer." The Hebrew term means coming near for the purpose of embracing and kissing someone. Joseph wants these men to view him up close and see that he's not an Egyptian ruler, but he is their own flesh and blood. And then Joseph sets their trembling hearts at ease. And this is what he says. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years the famine has been in the land. There are still 5 years where there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in this earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. And listen to this. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all the house and a ruler throughout of all of Egypt. Joseph is saying, dear brothers, don't condemn yourselves. He is saying it was God who made all this come to pass. He is saying it was God behind the scenes who sent the caravan from Gilead, who took him into slavery in the foreign land. You thought you were doing me evil, but I'm here to tell you God was there all the time. That's what Joseph is telling his brother. God was there all the time. He was behind the scenes. He was working out his plans so as to save life. You meant it for evil, but God brought good out of it. Only God can do that, dear friends. I'm going to tell you, only God can do that. Because the devil doesn't bring anything but grief. But God takes the hard things and the bitter things of life and he brings good out of it. You remember when Jesus told the story of the woman in travail and how that at the time of travail she has terrible pains and it's a horrible experience and it's hell on earth. And then that baby little boy is born and she rejoices and out of her sorrows and griefs and troubles and trials, joy comes. God brings good out of evil and out of the hard things. The events of my life may hurt us. We may live in an unjust world. We may suffer and be to some degree. We're all going to get hurt sometime. It's one way or another. It may be intentional, maybe unintentional, maybe real, maybe imagined, but somewhere along the line, you're going to get hurt and hurt terribly, and I'm going to get hurt. But we then, Joseph is telling us, you never strike back. Because while others may hurt us, it follows we will hurt others when we strike back. And so we need to forgive because to forgive is divine. It's of the Lord. So what do we think about this? I remember reading about a General Oglethorpe. He said to John Wesley, I never forgive. And Wesley replied and said, well then, sir, I hope you never sin. We're all in the same back. Joseph is teaching us to forgive, to see God's hand in the events of life, to practice forgiveness, with serve God with a pure heart. We're none of us perfect, but yet we can serve God and love him and trust him and give him all we have. And he knows that we're in the flesh, and he knows the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the spirit of the flesh is so weak. Listen to Joseph again. Then his brothers also came and fell down before him and said, behold, we are your servants. But Joseph said unto them, do not be afraid, for I am in God's place. And as for you, you meant evil against me. God meant it for good in order to bring about the present result, that is to preserve many people alive. Isn't that a beautiful response? In that you see the attitude of Jesus Christ, don't you? It doesn't come from the human level. It comes from the heart of God. And you can never really forgive until you know Jesus Christ and you have the love of Christ, because you can't give out something you don't have. And you never have the love of Christ and the love of God until you make that prayer, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me for Christ's sake. You have to pray, Jesus, please come into my heart. Take away my sins, and I know they'll be all washed away in the blood of the Lamb. Take away my sins, and I'll serve you the best I can. You need to do that, see? And that's what Jesus taught us to do. Then he says, I want you to forgive others. He says in Matthew 5, 43, I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. It's not easy to forgive. I know it isn't easy for me to forgive, but you can do it if you pray for these people and never give up praying and forgiving. Never, there's no end to it. Over and over, God will forgive us. Over and over, we must forgive. And I saw a little ad in the paper the other day, a magazine. And here's this prodigal son. He's come back home. And the father saying, well, this is the fourth calf I've had to kill now. How many calves do you have to kill? Jesus said, Peter said, should I forgive them 7 times and then they're done with them? Jesus says, 70 times seven. In other words, there is no end to the grace of God till you come to the grave. And when you come to that grave, that's the end of it. And you're in Christ, you're not in Christ. You're heaven or you're hell. And that's all set the moment you take that last breath. And so if you're going to get right with God, you get right with him right now. Jesus is telling us here that we must forgive and never and always be careful, because if you don't forgive, there's a root of bitterness that comes in your heart and your soul. And it hurts our spiritual growth. It stunts it. And then it hurts other people. This is what God says. Hebrews 12:15. Looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, by this many become defiled. The root of bitterness springs up, that is, it grows, and it causes trouble, and it causes sorrow. And Joseph says, I'll have none of that. It's total forgiveness, and we're putting it all behind us. He knew the power. He knew what Jesus was going to teach before he ever taught it, before the Holy Spirit ever came and worked in the hearts of the people like he did after Pentecost. Before any of that, Joseph is practicing this, and he says, you're going to have to do this. You're going to have to forgive, and I forgive wholly and totally. Today, we need help in overcoming forgiveness, unforgiveness. We need the Word of God. We need the Spirit of God. We need the church, the fellowship in the church, and just take a lesson from Joseph. This is what Joseph said. It was not you who sent me, but God. In other words, God is in control. He's the one behind the scenes. And all of these events of life, God is handling them and working them. And he's trying to work it so that we'll become better people. So first of all, we come to know Jesus. And then that we'll grow in grace and be a blessing and a help to other people. God is talking to us all the time. But we have to make that decision. You know, I can't make it for you. Oh, I wish I could. I see all of you all over the world. And God is talking to you right now. And he's saying, I want to come into your heart. I want to make you a better person. I want to make you my child. I want to make you so you'll be a blessing like Joseph and be a blessing to others, and that you can forgive and you can forget and you can help. I want to do that, God is saying, but I cannot do it unless you ask me to do it. In the book of Revelation, Jesus says, I stand at the door knock. It says, behold, look, pay attention. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's the door of our heart. He wants our heart, not our head. He wants our heart. I stand at the door and knock. If any man, that's any person, I don't care who you are, I don't care what your sins have been, if you repent, if you ask Jesus into your heart, he'll come into your heart. Sometimes I have people say, well, I'm going to clean up my life, and I'm a Christian, I'm going to be a good Christian, I'm not going to be a hypocrite, I'm going to get cleaned up. Never get cleaned up. That's what the devil's telling you. Because you'll never get cleaned up. You'll always be working on it. And the more you work on it, the worse it'll get. It's like mopping a dirt floor. The more water you put on it, the worse it gets. Come to Jesus. Make that prayer. And like one old pastor said, God cleans his fish after he catches them. He'll help us clean up our life, but we'll never be perfect. And so we're praying today that many of you will turn to Jesus. And if you do, I'm going to ask you to write to us. And we'll send you some literature and getting started in the Christian life. And we'll answer any questions you might have. And I'll tell you what to write. Get your pencil and paper. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And you also can get us by getting on the internet, christianworshiphour.com. And we'll send you literature to help you in the Christian life. We also have a booklet on Can I Lose My Salvation? No, you cannot. And so you can get that. And then we have the new song, and that's a little Bible study we put out every month. And you can read about that and grow by grace that way. It's free and postpaid, but you need to write to us, to you we just want you all, whether you're wherever you are, whoever you are, to just to write to us. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And you say, well, I wonder how they'll handle the money. We're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They check every nickel we receive and every nickel we spend. So it's safe. It's solid. And now I want to say a word to the shut-ins, because that's one of the things in our Christian Worship Hour. We want to glorify God, want to bring sinners to the lost Savior, and then we want to help those who are on sickness or shut-ins or lonely. And then we always pray for the persecuted church, and we're praying for our brothers and sisters in Saudi Arabia. And we're going to do that right now. Heavenly Father, first of all, we pray that every word we've said will honor your name. And then we pray that multitudes will open their hearts to you and receive you into their hearts. We believe that's happening. And we pray that bless your people struggling, and sometimes their young people having troubles. And then be with our brothers and sisters in Saudi Arabia. Help them to know that we're praying for them, and help them to know, even though they might not see you there, feel that you even know you are there with them, and you said you'd never leave them or forsake them. Help them in their troubles and their trials. Oh my God, how some of them suffer. And so we pray that you'll bless them and help them. We just pray, Lord, that you'll help all of us to love you and trust you, to serve you and to honor you in every way we can. Help us never to give up and to be like Joseph. No matter if we're misused or some people abuse us, help us to forgive and to go on and never hold a grudge. Help us to have the love of Christ. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So I want to thank you all for writing. I hope you'll send a gift to help us in the work. If you think this is something that God can use and is using, then you need to help us. And so you send it to the Christian Worship Hour in the Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. Well, now we're going to be looking for you next week, and we're going to have a sermon on Samuel, a great saint of God, a great prophet of God. We'll do that next week, Lord willing. So God bless you. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.